The title of today's lesson is Excel Still More in Thanksgiving. Excel Still More in Thanksgiving. And by the way, just really quick, a quick update on Luke, my middle son, the one who's got a few screws missing. The other day, my wife Maggie asks Luke, do you know the fruit of the Spirit? And he goes, yeah, grape and strawberry is what he said. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So I enjoy him very much, certainly. He's the most challenging one, but I try to keep you guys updated on some of the stuff that he says. It's entertaining. Grape and strawberry is the fruit of the Spirit. Never mind that it is completely blasphemous, what he said. Anyway, guys, back to the lesson. Excel still more in Thanksgiving. We get to speak today about Thanksgiving, giving thanks. Once again, we are studying 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. As I like to do, I will read the verse and then refer back to it as we go through our study this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your mercy and your goodness, the opportunity that you give us to assemble as a church, to come together as your body and study your word, sing to you in praise and honor. But study your word, Lord. We are so thankful. We are so humbled by this incredible opportunity that you give us. And I pray that you would help us to devote ourselves entirely during this time of study to growing, to learning more of your word, Lord. Help us to do away with any unnecessary thought, any undue influence during this time. Dedicate ourselves purely to learning more of your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is going to be a little different. Typically, I've got 3 or 4, 5 points sometimes to give you. Because of the limited words, and I just mean that in terms of quantity, not anything else, but because of just the few words that we have in verse 18 this morning, I don't have 3 or 4 points to give you necessarily. I will try, for those of you that are following me with notes, I will definitely try to create an outline as we go. Okay, and I think it'll be a pretty good outline. But because we just have a few words to study this morning, I couldn't come up with a 3 or 4 point sermon that I could give you this morning. Okay, but I will definitely try to help out in terms of an outline. By way of introduction, I want to say just a few things before we break down in everything give thanks. Verse 12 introduces a shift from the theological instruction regarding the Day of the Lord to practical commands. When you come across verse 12, you feel that shift. Paul transitions from instructing the Thessalonians on what will occur, what the Day of the Lord will look like, into practical commands. And from verse 12 to verse 15, these verses have to do with practical assembling. That is, coming together as a group, as a church, and what that should look like, from verses 12 to 15. While in verses 16 to 24, Paul gives us what practical conduct should look like, what the life of a Christian should look like, what the conduct of a Christian should look like practically, verses 16 to 24. He really paints a picture of what Christian living should be characterized by. It's a wonderful portion of Scripture. Verses 16 through 18a, that is the first part of verse 18, provide us with a picture of what Christian living should really be, of what it should look like. In these verses, Paul provides his readers with 3 commands. You're going to want to note that because these are not 3 suggestions, 3 maybes, but 3 commands. Again, in verses 16 through 18a, Paul provides his readers with 3 commands. And it's important, guys, to note that in these commands, in these verses, Paul assumes salvation. In other words, Paul assumes that the people that are receiving this are saved mainly because only a saved person is able of exhibiting, of obeying the commands that he gives in verses 16 through 18a. Salvation is assumed. You know, this thought, this attitude, this command of thankfulness was certainly nothing new to Paul. This was not a new teaching that he sprang on the Thessalonians all of a sudden. Paul constantly reminded his readers to be thankful. And we see that throughout all of Paul's writings. Paul, better than most, knew that thankfulness should always be a part of the Christian's life. I don't think there was anyone that knew that better than Paul. For example, Paul constantly thanked God for the churches. You don't have to turn there, but listen to what he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, where he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." If he were from Texas, I gather he would have said for y'all, right? But he says, "For you all, because your faith is being proclaimed through the whole world." In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, he says, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you," speaking to the Ephesians, "and your love for all the saints," and here it is, "do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers." So Paul was certainly accustomed to thankfulness. He was thankful, incredibly thankful, for the churches that God had enabled him to plant, to start. But he also encouraged his readers to always be thankful, to have a thankful attitude and heart. For example, in Ephesians 5:20, Paul says, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." Again, guys, the idea here, thankfulness was not a new concept that Paul was springing on the Thessalonians. He encouraged them to always give thanks for all things in Ephesians 5:20. In Colossians 1:12, Paul says, "Giving thanks to the Father." And why is he giving thanks to the Father? "Who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Because God has qualified us for an inheritance. And so certainly Paul wanted his readers to be aware that not only was he thankful for them, but that they should be thankful to God for what they had received. There is in this thought of thankfulness one overarching principle that if you miss this morning, you will probably miss the entire lesson. It is an overarching principle. And what do I mean by overarching? Well, you could substitute the word overarching for overall, if you'd like. Principle, you can substitute for truth and overall truth that serves really as the foundation for giving thanks in everything. Because we'll see what giving thanks in everything means, and it gets difficult sometimes. I don't want to kid you about that, guys. It's tough. It's not always easy to give thanks. But again, there's this overall or overarching principle or truth that serves as the foundation for giving thanks in everything. This truth, God's providence, is this foundational truth, this principle. God's providence is perhaps best explained in Romans 8:28. In fact, turn with me to Romans 8:28, if you would. I like Justin's suggestion of poking out a nose hair and leaving it there as a sort of marker for you. So go ahead and do that if you'd like this morning or not. But go to Romans 8:28 with me. And we're reading this because it serves as the foundation for being able to give thanks in everything. If we understand this verse, we understand that it's a little easier to give thanks in everything. Romans 8:28, Paul writing, says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Of this verse of Romans 8:28, Pastor John MacArthur says, "God's providence, His sovereign blending of all of life's contingencies for believers' ultimate blessing, causes them to be thankful for everything in life, knowing that it fits into His eternal purpose." To know as Christians that God is always in control, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, is the Christian's great equalizer. And I hope that we capture this morning. I hope that you're well aware as you sit here this morning that you don't just serve a God in the middle of many, that you and I serve the only God, the one and only true God. And that God has everything in control. That God never loses control. There is no oops in God's vocabulary. And so that serves as comfort for us as Christians, but it also serves as a foundational truth for us. It lets us give thanks no matter the circumstance, because we know that God is always in control. It is only a powerful God, it is only a loving God that can cause all things, not just some things, but all things, including the bad, to come together for good for those who love Him. And so it's crucial that we understand God's providence. The fact that He will always provide for us. The fact that He will always have everything in control for us. Knowing the truth of Romans 8:28 allows us to give thanks in everything. Well, we've gone through the introduction, guys. So let's get to unwrapping, give thanks in everything. And before we do, let me just give you this really quick note. For purposes of today's lesson, I've switched up the order. Because Paul says, in everything, give thanks. I'm going to start with give thanks first. We're going to unwrap that phrase, give thanks first. And then we'll unwrap in everything. Okay? I don't want to confuse you, but I'm going to go give thanks first. In everything. So if you're taking notes, your first point today would be give thanks. Give thanks. The Greek here is eucharisteo. Eucharisteo. The Greek means to be grateful, to give thanks. And I thought about it, guys. I have to confess to you, as I was preparing for today's lesson, I was thinking, man, I know when I'm thankful. And I know when I'm appreciative, but how do you define it? I was searching for a good definition, and listen to this. In Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, it's quite a title, right? That's a fancy title. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, thanks or thanksgiving is defined as the expression of joy Godward. I love that definition. In other words, the expression of joy toward God for what He has done for us. Toward God, an expression of joy Godward, toward God. There is an appreciation, a gratefulness associated with thankfulness. doesn't take long. You can think of something perhaps maybe when you were younger or recently that someone has given you. And maybe it's something that you really, really wanted but couldn't have because of maybe some limiting circumstances. And what's our attitude when it is given to us? Usually, it is thank you so much. I mean, there's an appreciation, there's a gratefulness, right? When that happens. Could have been a bike maybe when you were younger. It could have been maybe the returning of something. I know my 5-year-old is extremely concerned right now because there's posters all over our neighborhood. Someone stole a bike. And so he's on the lookout for it right now. I mean, he's trying to see if anybody has this bike, right? But I got to thinking as I was studying, what would it be like if someone stole my bike? And by the way, someone did steal my scooter when I was living in Pacoima. And if you know Pacoima, it's not a shocker. I mean, you leave your stuff outside and it's going to get jacked, okay? But I thought, man, you know, my mom had bought me this scooter. We didn't grow up with much money. She spent $50, which was a fortune for this scooter. And it doesn't end well. I mean, I never got the scooter back. But I was thinking, what would have happened if somebody would have said, I found your scooter, here you go. I would have thought, thank you so much. There would have been an expression of joy, right? Maybe not Godward at that moment, maybe toward that person. But I hope I paint the picture for you of what thankfulness looks like. There's certainly an expression of joy. There's certainly an appreciation, a gratefulness. And so Paul says, give thanks, euharisteo. And it's at this point, guys, if you're taking notes, that I'd like to draw a contrast between two groups. Because we know what giving thanks is. We know that it's expressing joy Godward or toward God for what He has done for us. But it's necessary to draw a contrast when we talk about giving thanks within the context of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. The contrast will be between two groups, and I will ask 4 questions total. The first 3 questions will have to do with the first group, and the last question will have to do with the last group. Now, if you pay attention, after the first question, you should be able to figure out what groups we're going to contrast here. Okay? But follow along anyway, please. Please. The first question is, who's thankful? Who's thankful? The first question in drawing our contrast this morning is, who's thankful? And in Scripture, I think it is absolutely clear that it is the believer, the Christian, that exhibits a thankful heart. It is the Christian who is thankful to God in Scripture. For example, Psalm 136, and we could have chosen so many great psalms, but this one in particular, I thought, fit very well. Listen to what the psalmist says in the first 3 verses of Psalm 136. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. There's no doubt that God is good, and as a result, we are thankful for that. And we're thankful because His mercy endureth forever. Verse 2 of Psalm 136 says, Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. And why? For His mercy endureth forever. And finally, verse 3 of Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. That may not be something that we think about very often, but if you have ever had mercy shown to you, and it might be through a parent, it might be through another authority, where you absolutely deserve something and it wasn't given to you, if you've ever had mercy shown to you, you know what a deep appreciation there is in receiving mercy. And Scripture tells us that God's mercy endures forever. It lasts forever. And so certainly, who's thankful? It is the Christian that is thankful. We're thankful because His mercy endures forever. We read this already, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, I just want to reiterate this. Ephesians 5, 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So question number one, who's thankful? The Christian, the believer is thankful. Question number two, why are we thankful? Why are we thankful? We're thankful because God has made us thankful. That's the easy of it. That's the plain of it. There's an internal change that has occurred in the life of a Christian. Regeneration is that change. And it is that change that allows us to be thankful. This is very similar, guys, to the idea that we love God today because He first loved us. It is only because He loved us that we are able to now love Him. It is only because He saved us. It is only because regeneration has occurred that we are now thankful to God. That we can give thanks to God. We're now able to thank God because He has allowed it. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We'll read two verses. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Beginning in verse 6. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Verse 7. Rooted, listen to this terminology, guys. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Just a few things about this, about these two verses. As we grow, listen to what Paul says in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. What's he saying there? As you grow, Christian, with Christ, as you grow in Christ, Christian. That's what he's saying. As you are rooted and built up in Him, you abound, or in other words, you overflow with thanksgiving. You're thankful for the growing that you do in Christ. But I want you to notice, when does this occur? When does the being rooted up and built up in Him and abounding with thanksgiving, when does it occur? Well, look at verse 6 again if you're still there. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus. So you're thankful after you have received Christ Jesus. And you begin to walk in Him. That's when you begin to grow in Him. And that's when you abound, you overflow with thanksgiving. So question number two, why are we thankful? We're thankful because God has allowed us to be thankful. We're thankful because God has allowed us to be thankful. Question number three, and this will be the last question pertaining to the group of Christians. What are we thankful for? What are we thankful for? Guys, I have to confess to you that this is really an endless list. I mean, you and I could sit here for the rest of our lives, and that's not exaggeration. You and I could sit here for the rest of our lives and try to come up with a list of things we're thankful for to God, and we still wouldn't get close. That's the reality. And I'd also like to encourage you, as you listen to me, to maybe give some thought to what it is that you personally are thankful for. I'm gonna give you a list here in just a little bit of things that I think we can all be thankful for. But as we go through this, or maybe if there's small groups today and you discuss this, take the time to develop a list of things that you're thankful for. I think it's a great exercise for the Christian to do. And not just a one-time thing, but this should be a constant thing. A developing of a list for things that we can be thankful to God for. as I was going through my list, I thought, man, you know, there's so many things that I wanted to write down, but for the sake of time, we're not able to. Here's some of the things that I thought we can all be thankful for, certainly. I think we can be thankful for His love of us. We can be thankful for God's love of us. And you think, you know, Edwin, come on. I mean, that's pretty standard. You couldn't come up with something a little better than His love. Here's the thing about His love of us and what is so amazing about it. I get home and I love my boys. I absolutely love my boys. But to me, as a selfish human being, the reality is that my boys are lovable to me. You know, you get these they kind of look like you and they've got these chubby cheeks, right? In particular, my 1 year old, and you just want to bite on those cheeks or those thick legs, you know, and so those are lovable things. Here's where I'm going with this. The sad reality is that you and I, from a spiritual standpoint, were not lovable. Looked upon from a holy God, by a holy God, we didn't have any chubby cheeks that He wanted to chew on. It was just sin. And still He loved us. And still He loved us. You're listening to a guy who, at the first smell of a number two diaper, the love stops, basically. You know, as Maggie, the poopy diaper. It's not a lovable aspect. And we weren't lovable. And yet God loved us. And so thinking about that, and thinking about God's love toward us in that way, the fact that we were not lovable, and yet He loved us. We can be thankful for His forgiveness of us. I mean, this really falls in line with His love of us. But we can be thankful for His forgiveness of us, because I will confess to you that this is something that I struggle with on a daily basis, is forgiveness and overlooking things that really are trivial compared to what God forgave us for. But that often seems to be the case where we struggle with forgiveness of others, and yet God forgave everything of us. And so we can certainly be, as Christians, thankful for His forgiveness. We can be thankful for His perfection. And here's why I thought of perfection, because I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, you know, that was, why would you do that? Why would you put your son, your only begotten son, on a tree, on a cross, and kill Him for others? That doesn't sound right. But I know that because of God's perfection, that was the perfect plan. That was the perfect approach to saving an unsaved, a lost people. So we can be thankful for His perfection. We can be thankful for His sovereignty over us. That word, if you break it apart, it has R-E-I-G-N, reign. Reign, R-E-I-G-N in it. And that's basically what it means. It's God's reign over us. It's His perfect, as the perfect King, His reign over us. And so we can be thankful for that. We can be thankful for God's care of us. We don't think about that too often, but how many times God cares for us? How many times God prevents something from happening that we have no idea was going to occur? I am certainly thankful for. And finally, we can be thankful for God's providence in us. Again, I hope that as we're going through this, you take the time to come up with some of the things that you're thankful for. Finally, the last question, guys, in this contrast, if we've created this first group, which is the Christians, then we must contrast the Christian with asking the question number four, who's not thankful? We've asked first, who's thankful? And it is the Christian. Well, who's not thankful? And I think you know the answer by this point. It is the unbeliever, the unregenerate heart that is not thankful. Listen to Romans 1:21. Romans 1:21, as it characterizes the unregenerate person, For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. The unbeliever is characterized by an attitude of constant unthankfulness. The unregenerate heart may be thankful to a degree. We hear strange things. For example, I'm thankful to the universe for making this happen. Or I thank Mother Nature for her providence over me. We even hear the unregenerate heart from time to time, maybe in an award setting. I'm sure you've seen this before. They come up, they receive their award, and the first thing out of their mouths is, I just want to thank God. But the reality is that this is an empty thanks when it comes from the mouth of the unregenerate heart. In fact, it serves more as a condemnation to them than anything else. The unregenerate person cannot be truly thankful to God because he has not been saved. He has not been changed internally. So what's the contrast? The contrast here is that the unbeliever is characterized by a life and an attitude of not giving thanks, while the believer, the Christian, is characterized by a life and attitude of ever thankfulness. It is the Christian that is always thankful. Give thanks, that's the expression of joy Godward, and it is the Christian that exhibits this attitude, that obeys this command, and it is the non-Christian that disobeys this command because he or she is incapable. And let's look at in everything here quickly, guys, with the few minutes we have left. In everything, which would be point number two in your outline. Point number two, in everything. The Greek there is enpanti, E-N-P-A-N-T-I, enpanti. The translation is in all, or an alternate translation would be in all. Literally, when we read in everything, that phrase means all that occurs in life. In all that occurs in life, Paul says, be thankful. And through the good times, certainly, we are thankful. I mean, I think all of us would agree that it's easy to be thankful when times are good. It's pleasurable to be thankful when times are good. But this phrase, in everything, includes the bad as well. It includes the struggles, the trials, and the tests. And there, the Christian should remain thankful as well. Listen to Hebert. Hebert is one of the commentators I read in preparation for today's lesson. Listen to what he has to say. But it is, again, this emphatic adverbial phrase, and by the way, let me just tell you that Hebert is using a translation in the Bible that says, in all circumstances. This is the same thing, in everything, in all things, in all circumstances. But Hebert says, but it is again this emphatic adverbial phrase, in all circumstances, listen here guys, that lifts this admonition above the level of natural practice or possibility. And that's absolutely true, because giving thanks in the midst of trials is neither natural and many times doesn't seem possible either. But it is what the Christian is called to. Pastor John MacArthur says, no matter what struggles, trials, tests, and here comes a big word, vicissitudes, that is a change of circumstance, that occur in the lives of Christians, with the obvious exception of sin, they are to give thanks. So whether times are good, whether times are bad, we are to give thanks. Turn to James really quick. You're familiar with this verse. I mean, we studied this verse. We studied this book. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You know, it's interesting, as we read those two verses, you come away with Romans 8:28. And you might ask, well, how's that, Edwin? How do you connect Romans 8:28 to James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3? Here's how we do it. It is through various trials, by the way, in which we're supposed to remain joyous, that we are given endurance. And there you see God's hand again through various trials, bringing those trials together to produce in you and me something good, which is endurance. We're wrapping it up here pretty soon, guys. I just want to read for you. And in fact, if you're in James, just follow me over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read 3 verses for you. Verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9. Beginning in verse 6, and follow along here because Peter is saying something. He says so much in these verses. He begins verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice. Watch this. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Listen to verse 9. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. It is ultimately our salvation, both that we have received our salvation from God and that it is secure in God, that allows us to give thanks in everything. It is our salvation and the joy that should produce in the life of a Christian that allows us to give thanks in everything. No matter what happens, we can remain thankful to God that He loved us first and that He saved us from our sins. That reality, guys, can never be taken away from us. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, we can always give thanks to God for what He has done in our life. I saw that personally during the death of my brother at age 19 from a motorcycle accident. And I saw it in the form of a 4'9" Guatemalan woman, my mom, who, though entirely crushed by what had just happened, her son dying, remained thankful through the process. And I don't know, I've never been through it, but I imagine, that losing a child is perhaps one of the most difficult things a parent would ever have to do. In fact, I think about it sometimes with my boys and how devastating it would be. And I wonder, how do you remain thankful through that? And the reality that I come to every single time is the joy of our salvation, the joy of knowing that God will one day work all things for our good if we love Him. And I can imagine that that's the only thing that kept that 4'9" Guatemalan woman thankful during that time. I say 4'9" because it's her fault that I'm so short. I blame it on her. But I love her. I saw in her that example. I saw in her that example. Let's finish with that last phrase, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This last phrase of verse 18 really attaches all three commands that we've been studying in verses 16 through 18a. The question that you ask after reading, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, the question that you ask is, what is God's will in Christ Jesus? And the answer is that God's will for us is that we rejoice always. Verse 16. God's will for us is that we pray without ceasing. Verse 17. And God's will for us is that we give thanks in everything. And I want to leave you with just a little bit of good news. If it were not enough what God has done for us and how He has saved us, if that were not enough, and that is more than enough, and keeping these commands of rejoicing always and praying without ceasing and giving thanks in everything, even the difficult times, the good news that I want to leave you with is that God not only commands these things of us, but He provides the way for us to do them. You don't have to turn there, but write this down, Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. Paul says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." So it's not only God that commands these things of us, but because He's such a caring God, because He's such a loving God, He provides the way for us to meet these commands as well. Listen, in closing, I want to say that it is inevitable, and you've heard me say this before, that as Christians, we will go through difficult times. And some of us here will go through extraordinarily difficult times. And I want to encourage you this Sunday morning to remain thankful through it all and to always remember that God has a way of working all things for your good, for my good, if we love Him. If we love Him. Love God through the difficult times, through the good times, and know that He is sovereign and He will work all things for our good. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for Your mercy and Your goodness. Your word is always appropriate, Lord, and I have no doubt it is appropriate this morning, and I pray that You would help us, You would strengthen us to always be thankful, to always be mindful of everything that You do for us. And as a result, as Psalm 136 says, give thanks unto You. Help us, Lord, particularly through the difficult moments, through the tough times, help us to remain faithful to You and to remain thankful to You, Lord, knowing that You bring all things to good for those who love You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.